The word that the Lord gave me this morning is something that I have learned many years ago. And I've taught this before. But I want to go deeper because it's going deeper in me, and I want it to go deeper in you. So, Father, I submit this message to give glory to Jesus Christ and not to anyone else. Because he is the author and the finisher of what this message is. I ask this in Jesus' name. I want to declare to you that I am redeemed because he has redeemed me. I am recreated because he has recreated me. I am delivered out of Satan's authority because he washed me with his blood. And he remitted all my sins and all that I've ever done and ever would do. That's what my Jesus did for me. Now, one of the things that I'm aware of that people have a problem with is sin consciousness. What is sin consciousness? It can be traced to the reason for practically every spiritual failure. Do you hear me? It destroys faith and it destroys the initiative in the heart of a man or a woman. It gives to man an inferiority complex, like you're less than your neighbor. After all, she can go to the Lord and get a miracle, but I can't because I am a sinner. Now I'm confessing to you, this message has been in my heart since Tuesday. He started on me Tuesday. He says, I want you to take it deeper. I'm listening to a man of God on television, and he's declaring that he's a sinner. And he's constantly repenting. And I said, God, he's stuck. He's stuck in his inferiority. And he says he wants everybody to confess that they're sinners. I was a sinner. So were you. But you're no longer a sinner. You are a saint. Because either you believe that you've been redeemed or you're not. Are you catching on? Either you are redeemed or you are not redeemed. Which is it? Did Jesus fail to wipe away some of your sin? Thank you. The person who's under this sin consciousness and all his initiative in his heart is destroyed, it's because he believes his emotions. And he trusts his emotions more than God's word. After all, who's God? He is afraid of God. He's afraid of himself. He is ever searching to find someone that can pray the prayer of faith for him, because he can't pray for himself because he has no value. After all, I'm full of sin. Are you getting the picture? Are you comprehending and have any relationship to that picture? If you have, put your hand up. Look around. You see, this message is an old message, but it needs to be understood inside. Not just up here. It needs to go in the heart. Okay? He has no sense of his own legal rights to stand in the Father's presence without condemnation. Those of you who were with Pastor Gino for years, he used to say, we are the sons of God that can come before the throne of grace anytime because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He was saying the same message. But you know what? Most people went out the door and called the prayer line. I'm not kidding you. It wouldn't be 10 minutes from the close of the service and they would be on the phone. Oh, Kim, would you pray for this?
Why can't you pray? Who are you? Oh, I'm a sinner. I don't have any value.
Tell me what you're going to get from God with that kind of an attitude.
Nothing.
Zero. You cancel your own prayer by your own attitude. And you trust your attitude more than you trust His word. Either Jesus died on that cross or He didn't. You know, you're going to be celebrating Passover. Let's Passover today. From the old pattern of who you are in Christ. A poor sinner saved by grace. Or a saint under construction until He perfects you. It's up to you. The inferiority complex that is bred of sin consciousness is faced everywhere in the church. Who do you think's writing this? Yeah. He's using E.W. Kenyon. Because that's one of his books that I read many years ago. And I still have a hard time with it. Because this brain gets me in trouble. So I'm not confessing that it's hopeless. I'm trying to tell you it's procedural. It's a little piece at a time. And more as you declare the truth makes you free. And you'll taste that freedom. Now, it has been said many times, if I could get rid of the sin consciousness, I would get my healing. I'd be a power for God. But I can't get rid of it. Has God provided a redemption that cures this sin disease? I am sure He has. If He hasn't planned to take it out of man during his earth walk, man can never stand right before God because redemption works only in this age. This period that you're in the earth is while He's working on you. God has made provision to make a new creation. He has planned to impart His own nature to him, taking out the old sin nature and replacing it with His own nature. This will destroy sin consciousness. Did you hear me? This will destroy sin consciousness. Few theologians have recognized the fact that the sin consciousness is the parent of practically all human religion. Did you ever wonder why religion is so powerful and plentiful in the earth? Do you think religion was created by God or by Satan? Religion created by whom? Yes, it is one of Satan's best creations. Relationship was what God intended. Religion was created to bring bondage and to bring self-satisfaction under an anointing of self-works. You say, oh my God, you're going deep. I plan to go deeper. Man has sought to heal this awful disease. He uses pills today, drugs, booze. The sense of unworthiness destroys faith, robs us of our peace of mind, makes ineffectual the most earnest and zealous prayer life. It robs us of all fellowship and communion with the Father. Our theologians, since Luther's, have never found a cure for this condition. The holiness people have strengthened and attempted bravely to meet this issue, but so far have never been able to permanently cure a patient. Man's cure has been repentance of sin, sorrow for sin, and deep agony for prayer or in prayer. And I can remember a great man of God in my life saying, Kim, you've got to pray for heartfelt repentance. So I dedicated myself and I began to fast and pray. And guess what? I had an emotional high and an emotional low, but no solution. And I prayed and cried out for God to finish this cleansing. And I confessed my sin. And I did all those things. And guess what?
felt like a sinner. And I acted and reacted as a sinner. And got no answer to prayer. Yet I was the head of a prayer line. And I believed in prayer. I believed in the agreement. And we did have miracles and signs and wonders. But you know what it would happen? When I least expected. When I least expected it, it would happen. So what was God trying to teach me? Kim, it's not about you. It's about me in you. That's what he was trying to teach me. And I couldn't comprehend it quite well. And you know, whenever we are standing before the throne of grace, it's because of him that we're worthy. And if we remind ourselves constantly and confess that truth, it exposes the darkness and the sin consciousness gets pushed back. And that's our game. Others have tried to quiet their conscience by going to church, doing penance, fasting, giving money, saying prayers, doing good deeds, giving up pleasures, confessing their sins. Did you hear? Fighting bad habits, putting themselves under discipline, self-denial, self-abasement, neglecting the body. Some have even gone so far as to lacerate their bodies. Others have taken long pilgrimages. All these methods have been tried, and every earnest spirit has attempted some of them. A few movements have just arisen in which men and women are finding temporary relief. I stress, temporary relief in confessing their sins to one another. Confessing sins may bring temporary relief from the pressure that is upon them, but no works of any kind, whether they be works of self-abnegation, repentance, penance, saying of prayers, or self-denial, can rid the heart. Do you see? It's the heart that's the problem. Can rid the heart of sin consciousness. When you are constantly looking at yourself as unclean, you are. Because as the heart believes, so are you. So if you surround yourself with these that are doing all these works program, guess who's going to get caught and slip in? It's you. Do you ever wonder why you go to a place and you have a certain joy about being there, and you walk away and you get home and you say, what's wrong with me? What'd you do? You vacuumed up whatever was around you. And it will be there for as long as you confess that you're a sinner. And are you saying that you could be bright and maybe infect them? Yes. I've seen myself go into a place and come out and wonder, my God, I can barely walk. Why? Because I was too bright for them. The darkness was trying to jump on me. I was the problem. I was a little too bright for them. The more I realize now that this wonderful gift that God has placed in me is something that irritates the darkness, I don't put the blame on the enemy anymore. I put the blame on me. Get a little brighter, Kim. And the longer and the brighter that I get, the less they can affect me. There are two kinds of sin consciousness. One is the man who has never been born again. The other is the underdeveloped believer. The underdeveloped believer. One who has never grown up beyond the state of babyhood. Doesn't know his rights and privileges in Christ. Where is the difficulty? It is this. The natural man is a sinner. But he is more than that. In 2 Corinthians 6:14. If you're bringing notes, 2 Corinthians 6:14. He is called iniquity. In other places, he is called sin. He is more than a transgressor. He is more than a violator of the law. He is by nature a child of wrath. He is spiritually dead. He is united with Satan, and as the believer is united with God. The believer has become a partaker of God's nature. The natural man is a partaker of Satan's nature. There's your division lines. The problem is, how can God legally deal with the sin problem and the sin problem?
How can he deal with this satanic nature that is in man? Here's God's cure. God has wrought a redemption that covers every phase of man's need, perfectly restores his fellowship with the Father, and that there is no sense of guilt or sin, no memory of past wrongdoings. That's pretty cool, right? The believer stands complete in Christ. He has partaken of the fullness of God in Christ. John chapter 1, verse 16. For of his fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace. So check that one out. John chapter 1, verse 16. Of his fullness I have received, and grace upon grace. Try it on for size. Close your eyes. Say, of his fullness I have received, and it's grace upon grace. Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 19. Carefully you will see that under the first covenant, there was a remembrance made of sins year after year. But in the new covenant of man, who has accepted Jesus Christ, loses the sense of sin, and in its place receives a sense of his oneness and fellowship with the Father. Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. Who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have our redemption and the remissions of our sins. Close your eyes one more time. Confess it with me. Say Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Who delivered me out of the authority of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom I have my redemption and the remission of few. Who changed it? You got the point. I was tricking you. It's of all my sins. That means yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's. They're all remitted. You say, how does that work? Because God's eternal. Notice in the scripture, he delivered us out of the authority of darkness, that is Satan's dominion, and at the same time translated us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. There are four facts here. First, we are delivered out of Satan's dominion. Second, we are born into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Third is, in whom we have redemption. That is a redemption from Satan's dominion. Satan has no legal rights to reign over the man who has accepted Christ as his Savior. He does it by deception. The man who has been delivered out of Satan's dominion and family and authority, he has been born into the family of God and the kingdom of the Son of his love. When this was done, the redemptive work that Christ wrought became a reality. He not only redeemed us out of Satan's dominion, there is also a remission of our sins. He redeemed me. He recreates me. He delivers me out of Satan's authority, and he remits all that I've ever done. As I was watching some of the news programs, I was reminded of the first two boys that Adam and Eve had. One decided to do it God's way and offer up an animal. The other one decided to work and, boy, offer up everything he did and worked like hell for a year, got the harvest, and then offered it. And God was not happy with the one who was self-sufficient. If I can make a comparison, I'm not saying God's not happy with the Japanese people, but I can tell you he's not happy with some. Because even in the news this week, they were being honored for their resilience. They were being honored for their orderliness. They were being honored for their self-containment. And if you look deep underneath, you'll see that they worship at the wrong altar. And I'm not putting blame. I am, however, reminded of a word that one of the saints spoke on one of the programs, and I'm not going to give you his name because I'm not trying to bring honor to anybody. But he said, the church, 60 years after World War II, is given an opportunity now to minister into the land of these that have been deceived. And I believe that the door is wide open for them to receive the love of Christ. I also did get a word that I believe Gail sent it to me, but it was also on the news, that there is a conference that's happening between the Koreans, the Chinese, and the Japanese this week. That is absolutely an impossible reality. In the natural, it would never happen because they're total enemies. But God is using a crisis to bring healing to those three nations because they were the worst of enemies. They couldn't stand each other. I can remind you that in my lifetime, I remember that Germans were my enemies. Today, they're allies. Japan, when I was a boy, Japanese people were something that you would spit at because of what they had done. I remind you that we were sinners and we should remember that we have been saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is available to them as well as us. And we have the ability to intercede as we go forth in this week to obey Him and not ourselves. Now, would you bow your heads, please? Linda?
Just before we were talking, I was just thinking of the song, When the Sinners Come Marching In, When the Saints Come Marching In.
When the sinners, right, it's the saints that come in marching in. Father, we want to thank you now that this word and this sin consciousness that you are working in me to eliminate in my heart, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would rout out all the lies and deceptions that have kept them in bondage. Because you're the only one that can set them free, Lord. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if this sin consciousness is removed, then you will be glorified through every heart that's here. And every person that listens to this message will definitely be set free. Because we pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other. Yes.